West Dallas has something like 70,000 people around that amount. Now, the person that I've been mentored by is believing for approximately 1 million souls, and he's been in ministry for 45 years, and I figured, well, if he can believe for 1 million, I can probably believe for about 70,000. And then God brought the scripture to me. He said to stretch out your stakes. He said, expand your tent, stretch out the ropes, strengthen your stakes. He said, think bigger. He says, I want Milwaukee County. I said, nope. And for about a month, or maybe it was like 6 months even, I'd kept dismissing it every time it would come to me. I thought, there's no way I can believe for 3-4 million people to be saved. Who can do that? Who can do that? And the reason I thought that is because I knew the satanic opposition we'd be up against. I knew what it would do to the circumstances that surrounded my life. I knew the suffering involved. With such an exploit, I knew what we'd have to go through. I knew all of it. So I reasoned and I questioned and I wondered and I dismissed it. And then finally I got the idea. I thought, you know what? With all this stuff, if I start believing God continually for protection, and I thought everything, I asked God, what would I need in order for me to believe for that many souls, or for me to be able to live for another week and not get killed by the devil? What is it going to take? He said, do you believe me for my protection? Multiple times throughout your day, you quote some things from Psalm 91, and he gave me a bunch of other scriptures to quote over yourself, so your eyes are focused on being protected and not all the fear that tries to overtake you. So I started doing that. I quote that over Michelle and I and James and all that. And you know what? I seen a vision of the devil. And just similar to what it was at Job, he said, you put a hedge of protection around him, I can't touch him. I seen the devil upset. Absolutely appalled because he couldn't touch us. Why? Because I keep speaking those words of protection over us. So now we're under a bubble of protection. He can't touch us. Amen. And at the same time, I'm able to believe for the salvation of all these people. And because I have been for over 3 years, I've been believing for the entire county. Everywhere I go, when I talk to people, in 7 minutes that one day, I got 4 teenagers that walked out of the high school born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit in this wicked generation. In 7 minutes' time. And this happens all the time when I talk to people, I get them born again. Why? Because I've been sowing seeds of salvation into their lives. So at first it didn't start out that way. At first when I started witnessing to people, nobody would respond. But I reasoned in my mind that this was satanic opposition to try to convince me that I was wasting my time. Just like the devil on my shoulder was trying to tell me you're wasting your time. Nobody's going to believe you in this generation. Everybody's going to hell. But I refused to listen to that. Instead, I listened to my heart and said, no, there's a lot of people that otherwise he would have pulled us out of here. He would have raptured the church already if there were people that wouldn't listen. The reason he hasn't raptured the church yet is because they haven't fulfilled the Great Commission. He's waiting for you to get off your chair and get out there and bring them into harvest. Amen? Amen? He wants us to do it. So what we want to do is we want to be transformed through prayer and fasting and meditating His Word and give our lives to this so we become more useful. We cleanse ourselves from the latter. In other words, all the hindrances from God to be able to flow His glory through your channel are cleansed away so that He can operate through us to the highest degree, and the greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father, the greater work is getting people born again, according to John chapter 5, if you're willing to listen to that. It's a much greater work than raising someone from the dead. Well, I think raising from the dead, no. Getting someone born again is greater. Raising someone from the dead, they can still go to hell after that. You get somebody born again, if they become a disciple, they're going to go to heaven. Amen? You just took someone out of hell and took them to heaven with you. It's an incredible thing to get someone born again. He said there's more rejoicing over one sinner, more rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So He's committed unto us this. He's made us His ambassadors, which is an empowered, authorized representative of Christ. He says, we implore you on God's behalf. In other words, it's just what we're to do as believers, all of us, not just us preachers, but we're supposed to do exactly if God the Father came down off His throne right now from planet heaven and came down to this earth. And He came down here and started doing something. What do you think He'd do? He'd go around getting people born again. Wouldn't He start witnessing to people and telling them about Jesus? start working miracles, raising people from the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the leper. He'd do the same thing Jesus did. If Jesus came down off his throne from the right hand of the Father, he'd come down here and do the same things he did on this earth. What God wants to do through you is the same things that Jesus would do if he came down off his throne, but he's up there interceding for us as you pray in tongues by his Spirit. So he wants to do that same thing. What would God do? He'd go heal everybody. He'd pray for everybody that he had a chance. He'd open up his mouth at every opportunity. He'd take every opportunity he could to be a witness. He'd mail out letters. You know, stuff like that. Anything he can to reach people. So what is all this talk about tonight? He wants us to become disciples. He wants us to grow spiritually so we become more useful to him and a better example of a Christ in the earth. Better example. The more we grow and mature, the more word, the more knowledge of the word we have, the more useful we are to God. You are as useful to God as the amount of knowledge of the word that you have in you. That's how useful you are to God. And that's not memorizing it and quoting it out of context like so many ignorant and unstable people do, according to Peter. But that's actually having a revelation, and a revelation knowledge of the word comes through praying in tongues. That's where you'll start to be able to discern truth. See, worship them that worship us, worship in spirit and truth. That spirit and the truth, the truth part of that is the ability to be able to discern and rightly divide truth, which is God's word is truth. To rightly divide the word of truth, he said. Study to show yourself approved a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. So we want to continue pressing in and continue in prayer. Why? Because we don't want to focus like so many. They focus on believing for houses. And you can do all that while you're believing for souls, but don't let that be your main focus. He said to seek first the kingdom. And the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness isn't believing for houses and cars. The seeking first his kingdom and righteousness, the main part of it is believing for souls. How do we do that? We pick someone's name. We get it in our head. Right now. Just think of someone. If you got multiple people, just I want you to get it. And just quietly under your breath, I want you to say, Father. I just want you to say it under your breath. I don't even want to be able to hear. You can say, Father, I thank you that, and then just name all these people. I thank you that all Michelle, my families and our friends and the people of West Dallas and Milwaukee County are saved. Just say their names right now, and then we're just going to worship him for a couple minutes and watch the changes. Because the moment you do that, you release that faith, all of a sudden angels' wings start flapping and they start going forth. And miracles start to place. But the demonic influence, that darkness that surrounded your loved one, all of a sudden is illuminated by light. Instead of all the hatred and the unforgiveness that fills their hearts, all of a sudden they start to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the love of God starts to surround them. And all of a sudden miracles start taking place in their soul realm, in their spirits. And they all of a sudden start having thoughts of God instead of thoughts of killing themselves. This is what happens when you start to call out a person's name and then start to worship him. So now I just trust that you've called out their names. If you can't, you can whisper it under your breath. We're just going to praise him. Don't be afraid to lift up your voice. Father, we just praise you that we thank you that they're saved, Lord. We just worship and praise. Just say it from your heart, whatever comes out. We just praise you that they're saved, Father. We just praise when thank you. And Father, we blind the minds of all the evil spirits. We bind you, Satan, from blinding the minds of the people that they've called out in Jesus' name, and we loose angels in the power of God. We just praise you that they're saved. We thank you for working in their lives, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We worship and praise you. We glorify you and exalt you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. Our heart beats with yours, Lord. We're after souls. We worship and praise you. We glorify you and exalt you, Lord. You're a mighty God. We praise you that they're saved. We glorify you, Jesus. You're a mighty God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. You died for them. We thank you that you love them, Lord. We praise you and exalt you. We magnify you and bless you. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you that they're saved. We thank you that they're saved, Lord. We worship you. This is what he said. There's an interpretation of that. He said this. He said, it brings me great pleasure When I see my children together in one mind, believing for the souls of those the price has been paid for. So continue to lift up your words before my throne, standing in the gap in intercession for those who are lost. For it's your authority that you release through the name that permits me to move on your loved one's behalf. So continue to press in. And as you bear this fruit, this eternal fruit that will last, you bring great glory to my name, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just thank you that they're saved. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. We just praise you that they're saved. We thank you for working in their hand. We thank you the spirit of religion is broken. Every blinding spirit power is broken. Every satanic force that's been hindering their salvation is broken right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that laborers are being sent to them. The right laborers. They're in the right place at the right time, talking to the right people, saying the right things. Everything's working out and harmonizing with your perfect predestined will for their lives. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We just declare they will not go to hell. They are going to heaven. Whether they precede us or follow us, they will be in heaven with us. They will be with Jesus forever. We praise you and exalt you. We magnify you and bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. No hindrance to their salvation will prevail. Every weapon formed against these people will fail. We just praise you and exalt you, Father, that your love has gone forth. We surround these people with faith and love, Lord. We surround them with faith and love. We praise you and exalt you. We magnify you and bless you. You're a merciful God. We praise you and thank you for working in their hearts right now, Holy Spirit. We thank you for laborers being sent forth. We praise you and exalt you. You're a merciful God, Father. We stand in the gap. We stand in the gap, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you that it's done. Hallelujah. And he said this. He said to continue now. He said to continue to release your faith on behalf of those that you've called out their names. Can be consistent. For as you release your faith, it releases me, says the Lord. So untie my hands and allow me to work. For I will mold and shape their lives in such a way that they will be more than willing to come into my kingdom, says the Lord. So allow me to mold and shape their lives. Allow me to surround their lives with my love and my light as you continue to bring praises before my throne on the behalf of those that you've claimed their souls, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel good. Doesn't that feel good? Anybody feel good inside in your spirit? Does it feel good? It's because he's pleased. When you feel good, when you feel pleased, it's typically because he feels pleased. You're experiencing his pleasure. This is the type of stuff that pleases him. Believe in God for a house and a car. Release your faith a couple times a day for that, but focus on the souls. Because these people are precious, and when you get to heaven, you'll see that your reward there is going to be all the wonderful people that welcome you into eternal dwellings. So keep pressing in, and count it all joy, he said. Whenever you face various temptings, testings, and trials, for the development of your faith takes place. For as you face many temptings and testings and trials, there's much development of character that takes place, says the Lord. Perseverance must have its perfect work so that you become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Keep pressing in. Don't get discouraged when you have a lot of trials. There'll be days when everything that could have possibly went wrong, just one after another. Satan orchestrates it. Just keep using your authority and fighting. Because the reason those things are coming up against you is because he's afraid of you. He's afraid. He's afraid because you are filling yourself with the Word. He's afraid of you because you spend time alone at God and you're becoming one who's very dangerous to the realms of darkness. Should I be scared? No, absolutely not. Jesus said, nothing will hurt or harm you, but you need to use your authority and enforce that. Continually take authority over the enemy off your life. Break his hold, break his power. Command him to stay away from you. Bind every counterattack, plan, maneuver, and assignment of the enemy. Command him you can't attach to your household after you pray for other people. After you pray for other people, always make sure you bind the enemy from attaching to you now. Because that's what he does. You break the enemy off of them, he tries to attack you. So you need to be aware of that. And if you use your authority, you'll have less issues with that. But you need to use your authority multiple times throughout the day. And if it's overwhelming now, things will get easier. Amen. It just becomes second nature. It becomes part of who you are. So don't be discouraged when you have a lot of problems. The Bible says, Jesus said, in this world, you believers are going to have a lot of trouble. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. The whole book of 1 Peter, if you read through it and listen to what he's saying, he's talking about unjust suffering, suffering that you don't deserve, that Christians go through. Husbands, wives, slaves, everybody. He says, don't think it's strange that the fiery trial or all these problems. Don't be surprised that the fiery trial you're enduring is though something strange or happy. But he said, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. That's what it is. You're participating in the same type of sufferings Jesus went through. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was a man of suffering. Man of suffering. He suffered a lot. He had to deal with all the temptations of humanity, but he didn't ever yield to the devil. So you're going to have a lot of sufferings. There's going to be a lot of days that are very difficult. But, you know, Paul, in one place after the disciples just got persecuted, they're chasing him from town to town. He said, we must endure many hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. It says he encouraged them with those words. So you need to be aware that it's okay. You're not the only one. We go through things too. We go through things too. You know? You're okay. Okay, we love you guys. We'll see you on Sunday. Spend much time in prayer. I hope you learned. Did you learn anything tonight? We covered a lot of ground. But this is what God wanted to get into us. He's trying to paint you a whole picture. Just all you got to do is call out that person's name or a group of people's names and then just praise them and thank them that they're saved. At times he may lead you to call that person's name out over and over and over again. Thank you that so-and-so say. Thank you that so-and-so say. He may lead you to do that, releasing authority, slipping and out of worship it back into tongues. Spend time alone with him doing that every day. And then when you're done, say, I bind any evil spirits from attaching to me and my house and my life. I command him to stay away from me in Jesus' name. Use your authority afterwards. And just trust. And if that person comes up and they're twice as ugly as they were the day before you prayed, just laugh. And say, I know that it's working now because the devil's trying to make it look like it's not. That's what he likes to do. He likes to paint you a Picasso, a big, wonderful picture that everything's opposite. And when it seems opposite, you can rest assured that what really happened is it had a powerful effect and he's trying to deter you and get you off of faith because he knows that if he doesn't, that it's going to come to pass just like God said it is. He's trying to steal the word. He's trying to make that stop that field from growing. Amen? So don't be ashamed that you suffered as a Christian. There's a lot of suffering as real Christians. There's a lot of imposters out there and hypocrites. They don't go through much suffering. Everything seems to be going smooth. But don't envy them because the end result is you get heaven. And if they don't turn from their hypocrisy, they may not ever see heaven. Amen. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. And he's not causing the problems. That's always the devil or consequences, but